The study today is on the Feast of the Tabernacles, and before we get into all that, we have to lay a little bit of groundwork. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 23, we'll be reading there some about this particular feast day and holy day. Before we get into that, some information is kind of needed as groundwork for what we're going to be studying. I want us to think about something as the prelude to the Feast of the Tabernacle so we can understand some more of the prophetic picture of that in the laws that God gave in the Old Testament. Jesus came to earth the first time to his own over 2,000 years ago. He came to his own. In John 1:11, he said he came into his own, Israel, and his own received him not. Jesus is coming again at the rapture, or the calling away, or the catching up of the church. Jesus is coming at the rapture for his own. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, the Apostle Paul illuminates that a little further for us. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery," or he's revealing something that's in the scripture that had not been told before or explained. He said, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And then in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it's almost a continuation of what he wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Jesus came first to his own. In this case, he's coming for his own. And notice that we go out. We don't stay. He's coming for us, for his own, and we go out. Lastly, Jesus is coming in phase two of his second coming, when he puts his feet down on the Mount of Olives. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, and he said, "To you who are troubled, rest with us, or be comforted, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Now this is different. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified with his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed about that day." Now he's coming in that phase with his own. We're coming back with him. So don't let anybody tell you that there's the same thing as the last day, or the day of the Lord is different from the second coming of Christ and the rapture and taking us out. Now, there are some people that don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. They don't believe that. So if they choose to stay here or believe they're going to be here through the tribulation, that's up to them. I'm just thankful that I'm not going to be here. I could agree with them if they were right, but that's just one of those things that I have to say. In Micah 4:7, and we see this prophesied in the Old Testament, "And I will make her," that's Israel, "that had halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever." Mount Zion is Jerusalem, and talked about in the scripture. Now, Jesus referred to both of the phases of his second coming in Matthew 24 and in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. Now, it's interwoven together. That's why it remained a mystery till Paul revealed it. Jesus did not give them all the details. But in Matthew 24, it's intertwined with both. And what we're going to study about in today is the Feast of the Tabernacles, is how that was prophesied and how it was celebrated by Israel as this forthcoming event. They're talked about in the Olivet Discord in Matthew 24. By a divine inspiration, the Apostle Paul gives us the mystery to us and explains us. The Feast of the Tabernacles that we're going to be studying today from Leviticus 23 speaks of the time when King Jesus will restore the Davidic monarchy in his own person. He'll regather dispersed Israel, he'll establish his power over all the earth, and he'll reign for 1,000 years. That's going to happen in the future. This was one of the feast days that the Israelite men were required to be at. All men 13 years old and upward had to make this trek to Jerusalem for three feasts. And I said, why these, I don't know, maybe when I was a kid, my dad never thumped me too much, but sometimes I would ask why. You've ever been with little kids that you give them a question and why? Or why does this happen? Well, sometimes I want to question, why those three feasts and not others? And then I begin to think about the application to our lives in the New Testament. The first feast that they had to go to Jerusalem for was for Passover or Pesach. Is that Pesach? Boy, I have trouble with the sock in there. My Hebrew is not really good. I contacted the scribe this week and he helped me out a little bit. But it was to understand the Passover and to understand Christ's sacrifice for us. Second feast that they had to go to was Shavuot. Shavuot was Pentecost. It's when the Holy Spirit came down in that day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. And that helps us to understand how that we walk in the Spirit of God in our lives as Christians. And then this last feast that they had to go for, Sukkot, that was God's provision. That's the Feast of the Tabernacles. He showed Israel how he had preserved them and brought them through the wilderness and how God provides for us everything we need. And then for us to keep our eyes on his return. How can we get through life? We can just celebrate those three feasts every day that we're here. Now, the Feast of the Tabernacles, Leviticus chapter 23, verse number 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be Feast of the Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. So a 7 day period of time. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you. And ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. And ye shall do no servile work therein. In other words, no work except the work of God be done on that day. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering and a sacrifice and a drink offerings, everything upon his day. Now there were offerings every day, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Notice in verse number 38, I think about our giving. See, Israelites, we think, well, God says I have to give 10%, that's the tithe. You know, well, Israel gave over 30%. Israelites were commissioned and commanded by God to give 30% of their income. Notice what he said in verse 38. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings, which you give to the Lord. Now he said, you're already given that. He said, this is going to be over and above. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered up the fruit of the land, this was the olive harvest that they were talking about, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Now, you notice in some of the feasts, they're to be celebrated forever. This is one of those in our Christian life that we can celebrate forever. Verse 41, and ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. And ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. And all that are Israelites born shall dwell in the booths. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. When I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. Notice how many times God uses the personal pronoun. He wanted Israel to always remember that he was the one that brought them out of Egypt. They had nothing to do with it. They followed what Moses told them as God led Moses. That was God that brought him out. God made the Passover for him. He passed over the land. He passed over the people. He brought them out. He kept them preserved. That's for us as Christians to understand. God's provisions for us every day. Now, in this year, 2013, Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, it's also known as the Feast of Booths or Ingatherings. That's celebrated this year in 2013, September 19th through the 25th. The feast took place in the Jewish month of Tishrei on days 15 through 21. It was 5 days following the new year, Yom Kippur. It's the corresponding months that we have of either September or October. The festival commemorated God's deliverance, protection, and provision during the wilderness wanderings in Exodus. In Exodus 23 and in Numbers 29 and Deuteronomy 16. It's known in the Hebrew as their word is called Sukkot. This is one of three feasts, as we said, for which all males were required to visit Jerusalem. The people lived in these booths or huts made from limbs and branches of trees. Now, I've seen some of those pictures of those constructed. They would do four posts and a couple on the ceiling, and then they would lay all these branches around, and that's where they lived. For 7 days, they lived in the booth. You say, wait a minute. In my backyard, I'm supposed to go out there and build this booth and live in that when I got the comforts of home over here. But God said it's to remind you of where you came from and how I provided for you. And this is to be done every year. Don't forget, there are memorials that he has. Those people lived in those booths. It celebrated the autumn harvest of the fruit that came in. It was the olive and the fruit harvest of the land. In Zechariah 14:16, he gives us a little more insight about what's coming in the future. Zechariah prophesied, and it shall come to pass. Now this is after Christ, his second coming, the second advent of his coming back to earth. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem or Israel shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. See, those same palm branches that was celebrated and used in the bows, what they call the luab, they were used in the building of the booths. They were also laid down in Jesus' path. They were also used and waved at the temple ceremonies. And they were the ones that the people were to use. During this week, from the seven Sabbaths, the 7 days that they had, during this week, a total of 70 animal sacrifices were made. Now, that's found over in Deuteronomy. You can study all that if you want to look at all the sacrifices and all the meal offerings. But 70 animal sacrifices were made, including bullocks and rams and lambs and goats. There were 30 sacrificed on the first day, 29 the next day, down to 24 on the seventh day, a total of 70. Those of you that do numerology in the scripture, you find 70 or 7. It's a multiple of 7. That's complete. All the sacrifices were complete for this feast and this festival. During Sukkot in the temple, now it changed a little bit from their wilderness wanderings, but when they began to worship in the temple, two important ceremonies took place. The Hebrew people carried torches around the outside courts of the temple and the walls, illuminating some bright candelabra along the walls of the temple to demonstrate that Messiah would be the light to the Gentiles. We read that last week in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. As Simeon was there, and he said Christ was given, first of all, as a light to the Gentile, and then the glory of his people Israel. So we see the same thing as those people as they marched around the inner courts of the temple inside the walls, and they would light all that up at night. Besides that, the high priest would draw water from the pool of Siloam, and he would carry it to the temple where it was poured into silver basins beside the altar of sacrifice. The priest would then call upon the Lord to provide heavenly water in the form of rain for the supply for the fruits of the harvest for the next year. During this ceremony, the people looked forward to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Some records and references in the scripture relate to that, and it was spoken of by the prophet Joel in Joel 2:28. Now you have to remember, the Hebrews had their own Bible. They had the scriptures. They had the Torah and the rolls. They had the prophets. They did not have the New Testament. So they're reading and thinking about all these processions, all these events taking place from Old Testament scripture. In Joel 2:28, he said, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." At Jesus' second coming, his second phase. It's when that will take place. Now, Jesus spoke some words at the temple on the Feast of Tabernacles. He went to the tabernacle, Feast of the Tabernacles, every year to fulfill the law. He was there. So Scripture gives us reference to that in the New Testament. And he spoke some words at the temple very early in the morning, following the morning sacrifice. And it was his presentation for the Feast of the Tabernacles. He preached quite a sermon. And he fulfilled the law with his own pilgrimage. In the New Testament, in John chapter 7 and John 8, it gives us this. It says, Jesus stood and cried in the Feast of the Tabernacles on the greatest day of the feast. John 7, 37 and 38. In the last day, in the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now you can picture yourself as a Hebrew standing in the temple at the Feast of the Tabernacles, and you see the priest with that water as he blesses that and he wants to pour that out, and he wants to picture the Holy Spirit of God coming for the people. And Jesus said, I'm the one. I'm the one. Look, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Can you see now how important it was for Jesus to be at the temple? How their worship was all at the temple? And how the scriptures, as they're given to us, as we read, we could understand a little bit better if we were a Hebrew standing there wanting to worship God in spirit and truth. And Jesus said, I am he. Also, the next morning, while those torches were still burning around those walls, and it's been said, according to history, that there was a giant candelabra, over 8 feet tall with lamps on there, that they never let it go out during this feast, and you could always see light in the foyer and in the area of the temple from all over the city because it was raised up on a hill. As those torches and those lights were still burning, Jesus said in John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Don't you see, as he told the Hebrews there and his own people that chose not to accept him, he said, I'm the light of the world. You don't need all these extraneous lights. I'll give light to every man in his soul. During his discourse about being the water of life and the light of the world, right in the middle of that, as you'll read in the scriptures, John chapter 7 and 8. Here the Sanhedrin, they bring, I believe it was the Sanhedrin, some of the guys, they brought this woman caught in adultery right inside the temple. He said, oh, you know, Moses said we're supposed to stone her. You know the story. What do you say? And Jesus wrote the very laws, I believe, down on the ground. But they disturbed his dissertation right in the middle of that. The tabernacles or booths, they speak symbolically of a residence. Exemplified in the Gospels. As us building our house upon the rock. Jesus said, you don't need sinking sand. You don't need these booths to dwell in. I have an eternal place in heaven for you. The feast speaks to the coming eternal rest in the holy city of Jerusalem. When the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and we'll be his people. Revelation 21, 1 through 3. John writes, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Amen. You know, there was a time before sin that God dwelt with mankind. Amen. He walked with Adam every day. Sin came by choice of Adam. And because of that, we're all under sin and because we all have to die. But there will come a day again when we'll walk and talk with God in the heavenly Jerusalem. It's going to happen, folks. It's as sure as we stand here today, those that believe in Christ, have trusted him for the redemption of their sins, one day you'll walk and talk with God. I don't understand all that, but I believe by faith, and I'm going to be there. Amen. Matter of fact, Peter, he saw some of that.